Oh my God, we're live.
Hey, we're live.
We're really live.
And,
Oh, wait a second. We're live, but your mic is turned all the way down. Hold on. Okay. That was a conspiracy thing.
Hello, hello. Oh, that's why it sounded weird.
Yeah, that's why.
Now I really hear it.
Yeah.
Nice shirt.
Yeah, nice shirt, man. We didn't plan this.
We did not plan this at all.
We just naturally.
We just think the same.
Yeah, we are the same person, technically. Yeah,
except you're way older, but.
Yeah, I'm what's everything's. Robbie always gets mad at me because I tell him all the medical things that are wrong with me. I tell him like that's going to happen to Robbie.
Yeah, they are.
It all comes with age.
I have to get knee surgery.
Yeah.
Sucks, man.
I've had that twice.
Meniscus?
Yeah, I've had it left and right knee.
And you had the surgery?
Yep.
It was easy, right? Not a big deal?
Well, I was morbidly obese. And when you're morbidly obese, everything's hard. So yeah, it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
But the surgery itself is it's just a scope. They go in and they basically just take out meniscus.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Yeah.
Then they're like, you might maybe have to replace your ACL. I'm like, no. Because the MRI didn't catch where my ACL is attached.
Wait, who told you that? The doctor?
Yeah, but he's just saying that. Like,
you're like, yeah, but he doesn't know anything.
No. The MRI didn't show like that part of my knee where the ACL attaches.
Okay.
So he's just like, oh, since I can't see it, I don't know if it's attached. So if we go in there and it's not attached.
I think you would know.
But I would know. That's what I feel. I'm like, I'd be like.
I feel like
screaming in pain. I think.
Yeah, that happened to Bamboo, right?
Yeah.
I feel like you would know if your ACL detached.
Yeah.
That would be quite a different type of pain.
So the world of jiu-jitsu is really interesting.
It is.
Have you seen
you hear the disapproval in my voice? It is.
Why? Why do you say it like that?
I don't know.
Stalling.
Yeah. I mean, there's a litany of things wrong with the jiu-jitsu world that we could pick on.
Did you see the back and forth between Cyborg and Gordon?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting how, you know.
Gordon made the comment originally when he posted the flow grappling lineup or something.
Yeah, and he's like, you're all dead or something.
Yeah, don't even bother to show up or something.
Right.
And then Cyborg run out and. You know,
Cyborg talked about like you haven't learned a lesson from your black belt. You know, he talks about honor and respect and, you know, what jiu-jitsu is about, which he's saying honor and things like that.
Yeah.
Which, and then Gordon comes back and said, no, this sport's built around savage Brazilians going and beating the shit out of people that do different martial arts because they can, which he's not wrong.
Right.
That is what happened. And, you know, if someone said if you bow, like if you were to bow back then in Brazil, you'd get fucking smacked, you know, like bowing on the mats. And now it's like turned into this whole honor and respect thing. I agree with Gordon. I think it's kind of culty when you start preaching as a jiu-jitsu instructor about all that, you know?
Yeah.
Like when you're sitting there, like the moral authority over your students and not just their jiu-jitsu coach, you know, and you could teach people about martial arts. But when you start getting into like, here's how to live your life, Sonny, because I'm a black belt. This is the things you should believe. This is your moral compass should be taken after me because I'm your black belt jiu-jitsu coach and I know how to break bones better than you.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend anybody get their moral compass from me.
Me either.
You know, that would be a mistake.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, but a lot of people think that way, you know, but I thought Gordon had it right.
Yeah, no, I actually explain to people as they here.
I'll just put it over here.
I try to tell people when they come in the door that we have a very different culture from a lot of different Brazilian jiu-jitsu gyms.
Yeah.
Because, and you know, a lot of times when people come visit from other gyms, it's a little bit of culture shock.
I know. I get that a lot.
They're like, whoa.
For me, it's all about the art itself. You know, it's all about teaching the art well and doing the art well and knowing how to get better and doing the right things to get better at the art of Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
But submitting people, man.
Yeah. And I mean, your instructors, I mean, I guess there's like a minimum expectation of morality from your instructors.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean, that, of course, you know, we do care about moral. We have morals as people, but you know, just, I know what you mean though. I mean, the whole like 1930s Japan act, you know, like we always wear the gi and we always bow to each other, bow to the professor. It's like, what are we bowing for?
Yeah, like we're not in Japan. We shake hands here.
Yeah, this is America. Yeah. We shake hands. We fist bump.
it's odd.
You know, yeah, it is very odd. It's like, you know, they're paying me.
Right.
Maybe if they weren't paying me and I was just doing it out of the goodness of my heart, then I'd make them bow.
Yeah.
Why would I make some? Seems weird. It's like you're paying me and now you have to bow to me.
But you know, there are so many people out there that when they go in to sign up for martial arts, they're so susceptible to that kind of influence, you know, especially guys like in their early 20s. When they come in, like they look up to you so much in every regard. So
just because you can beat their ass, it's weird.
It is. But does that, the question is how much responsibility does that come with? You know?
Well, I like I said, I disarm people right away, or I disarm myself for them right away when they come in. And I explain to people, do not put me on any kind of pedestal, you know, for any reason. Because I use a plumber as an analogy. I'm like, I'm basically a plumber. You're paying me for a service and I'm providing you that service.
Right.
You don't need to give me any more respect than you would give the plumber. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I can teach you self-defense. The plumber can teach you how to plumb.
I mean, that basically is that is it in a nutshell.
I mean, what are we doing here, man?
I know. Yeah, but people.
I'm not trying to be the next L. Ron Hubbard.
But that's where it goes.
Yes.
But those are the biggest gyms too, as far as student count.
Nah,
not all of them, though. I guess
I'm not willing. I'm going to be the anti L. Ron Hubbard.
I know. But they have that, man. It's everywhere. I don't want to name. I'm almost naming names, but
this is okay. I mean, people know. They can figure it out. I mean, take a look at a picture where everyone is wearing the exact same color gi, and they look like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Robots.
Yeah.
It's like, hello.
But people want to be a part of that.
Hey.
You know?
More weird. Power to them, man. Not going to get it at my gym.
They think that somebody has life figured out. You know, they think, I walk into this Brazilian jiu-jitsu school, it's fun, had a good time. I can't believe that humans are capable of doing this to each other. That's like the first thought. And then you look at the instructor and like, holy shit, he's so good at it, at this thing that I just fell in love with. He must have everything figured out. He certainly seems like he has everything figured out. And it's hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because we're figuring it out, man.
Everybody
everybody who's got their shit together or seems to have their shit together is figuring this all out as they go, man. Everyone is. You know, it's like, I don't care who you look at. I don't care if it's Tony Robbins. Like, bro, he's got problems too.
nobody knows what the fuck's really going on.
Right. Exactly. I mean, everybody's got issues and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's fighting a battle, as they say. Yeah. So you shouldn't presume anything. And although, man, I tell you, sometimes the students can be trying.
Oh, yeah. Why? What happened?
They can be trying. Sometimes you get a new student.
Oh, yeah. And they don't know the ethics. Oh, they don't know. Like,
I had a student offer me a cupcake. Another grown man offered me a cupcake. And it was out of the blue. We were sitting on the mat.
Yeah.
I think I just got done beating his ass. And he offered me a cupcake.
And did he just have them with
him? No, he didn't have a cupcake. He said he was going to get me one. At which point I told him, you realize I'm not going to eat anything you hand me. And he said, why not? And I said, I don't know you. It's like, yeah, you just signed up here, man.
Oh my god.
It was pretty funny. Yeah.
So he just wanted to go out, get you a cupcake.
I didn't know if he was going to cook me one.
I think that's code for sex, dude.
I don't know if
he, no, I think he was like,
he has a girlfriend that's always with him, you know,
who cares still,
but he was, am I getting this wrong, honey? He wanted to give me a cupcake, right? Am I telling tales out of school here? Am I telling the story wrong?
Oh, you weren't.
Okay.
Oh,
it happened.
Yeah. I've had students do stuff like that, like buy me gifts and stuff.
It's weird, right?
It is weird. I don't ever know what to say. Or you know what I find happens a lot? I become like a counselor.
Yeah, that was the most unexpected thing that happened since I started my gym, was I didn't really account for that. I was going to become an uncertified psychologist.
Yeah.
But I am one.
I know.
I am a bro science degreed psychologist for my students.
I mean, I've had people come to me with like real personal shit, just like, I need to talk to somebody,
right?
And I'm like, well, I'm gonna listen to you because I, you know, you obviously need somebody, but then they're always shocked that I have no advice.
You're like, man, that sounds like really bad,
shit, dude. What do you think you should do? Can't believe you got yourself in that. They just like spill their guts to me, and I can't help you.
Well, let me know how that works out.
did you watch that Kasai?
I didn't. I'll be honest. After Gordon said that he couldn't make it,
I know,
because of the thing with the drug test or whatever getting delayed, I wasn't really interested in watching.
I know, but then I heard about a bunch of good matches and I missed it. But then I also heard it was all points. Like the whole thing was all points, which I hate. That's what happens when you have these rule sets. Like it just ends up, people end up stalling and it's all points. And it's boring.
I'm convinced now that there's no rule set. I don't care what, there's always going to be, people are going to find a way always to exploit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
And it's crazy, but it's like people try over and over again to create a rule set that will prevent stalling and engage, you know, and promote engagement, you know, among the two opponents, but it never works. Like no rule set does it, man.
I mean, I think the 15 points or submit is probably the best rule set, but no one's doing it.
Right. No one's doing that.
Yeah. But I don't think you can stall with that rule set.
And Eddie Bravo has to get rid of the no stalling rule.
Get rid of the no stalling rule?
Like, no, he's got a thing.
Put a no stalling rule right in there. Yeah, I know.
Like right now it's allowed.
You mean like he doesn't call stalling?
Right, ever.
Yeah, that's
right. Like that's weird, good. Right?
I don't like where that is going with the only combat jiu-jitsu.
I don't mind it.
I just
think it's entertaining. It's more entertaining though.
But I think that he should do both. Like he's just going combat jiu-jitsu now. Like EBI is going to be known just for combat jiu-jitsu, which I think is kind of like, I don't know. It just seems like you're taken away from the art of what we do. Not in terms of making it a realistic fight, but
I'll tell you, I got to be honest though. As a fan, I'd rather watch that.
I would rather see who. Because okay, so let's say that Gordon Ryan or whoever goes in there and wins it in combat jiu-jitsu. Not necessarily Gordon, but somebody unexpected. It's always going to be like, well, if it was just jiu-jitsu, it might have been different, which is true,
right? But on the other side,
I want to see who's the best at just jiu-jitsu, because it just changes the game a lot when you throw smacks in there.
Right. But that's the whole point.
Right.
Because then you're left saying, what about the people that are left saying, oh, well, what if there were strikes?
Yeah, I know.
But, you know what I mean? There's a lot of guys that are real good at jiu-jitsu, but
it's just my personal, me personally, I want to I want to see who wins in jiu-jitsu.
No, I
that's
do
just
too.
Me. But
I do too. I love.
He's trying to grow a fan base, I think, for this.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm more interested in watching high level like ADCC matches than I am.
Yeah.
I mean, unless he were to add finally add a stalling. You know.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely needs a stalling because that was nuts. That one Dan Martinez. I've never seen anyone stall out like that. But I guess when there's money on the line,
and
just see, like in that Zapatero the
that's
other day,
that's a problem though. See, like,
so frustrating. To
like
watch.
There needs to, like, promoters of these events need to figure this out because, like, it can't be allowed.
Well, you know, you have Kasai, and
like
they,
I wasn't the one reffing the match, but if I was reffing the match, that guy would have backed up once out of bounds. That would have been a warning. He does it twice. He does it a third time. It's DQ.
Right.
Like,
because what are you doing other than
backing up,
running away from your opponent? That should be so illegal.
Right.
Like, you're not even playing. Like, that's this guy can't submit you, not because you're better at playing the game. You're just choosing not to play at all.
Right. You're running away.
It's so obviously should be really illegal and incredibly discouraged, but right. It's not. It's such a huge flaw. It's almost like embarrassing for the sport when you watch that. You're like, Jesus Christ, we're supposed to be like a professional sport, but this two people running, you know, one running backwards, the other one running forwards, literally like
chasing him.
This is what it looks like. This is what we're supposed to
say. The only thing missing from that match was the Benny Hill theme song.
What?
You know,
yeah, exactly.
You know, that's,
I know.
That's the only thing that was missing from that match.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. I mean, you can say, and you know, you can hide behind, well, there was money on the line, but bro, like, money or not, like, I don't care. Like a couple thousand dollars, and it was like $4,000 or $5,000.
Yeah, $4,000 for the team.
$4,000 for a team of five guys. So it's not even $1,000 a person.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's gonna take a lot more money than that for me to fuck up my reputation and be known as someone who runs away inside the ring.
And not even that. Like, what if we watched like Olympic wrestling and that's what they did? Like on an Olympic stage. You watch two guys doing wrestling and one guy's backing away the whole time. It would be the most ridiculous looking thing ever.
Yeah. See, this is why I get mad when people get mad at guard pulling butt scooters. They're only butt scooting forward because you're running away.
Yeah. Backwards buck scooters.
All right, that shouldn't happen.
I think that, you know, maybe one butt scoot back is allowed too, maybe.
Yeah, but
like if I come forward, you maybe can scoot back two times, just like I can step back two times.
Or maybe you're just, you know, you're trying to reposition yourself to get to distance management, whatever, manage your distance better, whatever. It's obvious when you're running away and when you're trying to deal with distance management, like you can tell, people can look at a match and tell those things. But like if I'm on the ground and I'm scooting forward, there's only one reason for that.
Right.
The only reason I'm scooting forward is because the guy in front of me is scared of me and he's scared to come into my guard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can talk all the shit you want about butt scoot, but pass the guard, you know,
get
in the fire, jump in the fire, pass the guard. Don't be afraid of the butt scooter.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid of the man sitting on the floor, Indian style.
Yep. I know, man.
It's unbelievable. Somebody sat down for me and played guard. It's a gift. Thank you.
That was crazy in that Zapatero. All those guys were so afraid of Quentin.
Yeah.
They were so afraid.
Well, because they saw what happened. Like every time. I mean, that's Quentin's MO, right? Quentin will jump into a match and the match will be over in 30 seconds. Maybe
a
minute.
The worst thing you can do is be afraid and not engage and run away.
Right.
Like that's the worst thing you can do with a guy like that. Because as you're running, he's going to leg lock you.
Right. He's going to lace you up.
Because guess what you're not doing? You're not defending the leg lock.
Right.
You're not countering it. The best thing you can do to a good leg, this is my opinion, the best thing you can do to a high level leg lock guy is try to leg lock them back.
Sure.
You know, because, you know, nine times out of 10, they're, you know, training with guys that try to run. They're usually better than the guys at their gym. But when you attack back, you can sometimes, you know, catch a victory like that because they're kind of used to guys running. You know, when they lace them up, they're used to them rolling. What happens when they try to escape. You train all these things. But a lot of times, you know, going for that counter is what's going to be,
right,
you know, better. That's why when I train leg locks, most of the time I'm starting the game off by putting myself in the bad spot. I'm starting the game off. I give him his honey hole or I give him his the ashi and I play from there with a countering game.
Yeah.
If you play that way, you'll be very comfortable in those bad positions. You won't have to run away from a guy like that. And then your counter game will be on point. Then they'll run from you.
And just like anything, you're going to have to get submitted a few times in order for that to
exactly that
plan to work. But right. That's all jujitsu.
Yeah.
You know,
pretty much.
Anytime you learn arm bars let's say you want to learn how to escape arm bars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to get arm barred.
Yeah. It was just so crazy to see those guys were so scared. And then that last guy just ran for dear life.
Yeah, it was, I mean, the plan unfortunately worked and the guy didn't get DQ'd and, you know, Quentin was the last guy on the team. So,
yeah.
That was that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what happens between Cyborg and Gordon. That's an interesting fight because there's no heel hooks.
Yeah, there's no heel hooks.
And listen, man, Cyborg is on that, you know, at that level, especially positionally. Like, I think that if Gordon goes to his back in this match, Cyborg can pass him for sure.
I don't know.
I think he can. I'm not saying, he definitely will,
right.
But he for sure can. Like, if they rolled, you know, 20 times in the gym.
Here's a scary
you better thought. Believe that Cyborg would be on his side and have dominant position on him throughout those roles.
I read something recently where Gordon said, he said the Gordon of today would destroy
the ADCC
Gordon. Right. That's a scary thought.
Yeah. But that match with Cyborg was so short and Cyborg just got caught, you know, in that heel hook position. That's it. Bottom done. You're done. This is a different rule set.
Sure. Let me ask you this. Who do you think would win?
I'm not saying I think Cyborg would win. All I'm saying is I do think with this under this rule set, if Cyborg's on point, like if he's his best version of himself, that's a tough match for anybody.
Well, yeah. Who do you think would win between, say, Cyborg and Josh Barnett?
Cyborg.
Like by submission?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. I think Josh Barnett has an interesting game, but I don't think that he's at that level.
Okay.
You know, he's had a couple of weird things, a couple of interesting things, but I think, you know, Barnett is very much an MMA fighter, you know, like I think he's got some awkward submissions, but a guy like Barnett, I would probably want to put him on his back. He really doesn't have a guard to speak of. You know, he fancies himself a catch wrestler. Catch wrestling doesn't really have a guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you put a guy like that on his back, you'll probably pass him. He's probably gonna turtle up, probably take his back. Like, I think that there's a huge difference between the way we are doing no-gi jiu-jitsu and the way catch wrestling does it.
Mm.
You know, I think there's a lot more stuff involved and there's a lot more detailed the way that we do it. And I think Barnett is just, he's incredibly tough. He, you know, he's a good wrestler. But I just think that at that level, the most of the highest level guys, I think would out submit him or get position on him nowadays. I think when he fought Dean Lister was on like a downhill spiral.
Do you think Cyborg is working on his leg defense? I mean, ankle locks are legal, right? Toe holds?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Gordon's not really known for doing straights. So, I mean, he'll get a knee bar, but I think that this is going to come down to number one, who gets the takedown. I don't think Gordon's going to pull guard on Cyborg. I think that wouldn't be smart of him to do. But hey, I could be, he's fucking amazing. So he might just be like, fuck you and sit guard and submit him. I could be totally wrong, but if I had to guess, if I had to put money on it, I'd put it on Gordon. Because I think that he'll probably win. But I would also put money on Cyborg as the underdog and cross my fingers because I think Cyborg has a huge chance. But if Cyborg gets him down, if he can take him down, he'll get on top. And then Gordon could be in trouble because he can pass and outpoint him. You know? But I think if Gordon gets on top, same thing. I think he takes Cyborg's back. I think what happens if Gordon gets on top, he'll come real close to a pass. And I think that Cyborg, you don't see Cyborg on bottom side. So he'll probably turtle up. And then Gordon will probably take the back. Next thing you know, he's on Cyborg's back. For sure, he can finish the choke from there. So that's what I think would happen if Cyborg gets on his back. But Gordon has it's a task to put Cyborg on his back if he doesn't want to be there. So Cyborg's best interest would be to take him down, wrestle him. And I think Cyborg can take Gordon down, you know? So we'll see. I think it's going to be a wrestling match, and whoever wins that will win the match, I think. But you never know. Gordon can come out and just fucking pull guard, take a leg, use it as a sweep, get on top.
I don't want to make a prediction because I like them both.
I like them both too, but as far as the match itself goes, yeah. It's fun to think about those times of matches, like what could possibly happen. I think that no one's going to give up bottom position. I don't think that'd be smart. He's a guard passing machine, dude.
Yeah.
Cyborg.
I think we might see a guard pull.
By Gordon? We'll see. I want to see that. I want to see that.
I'd like to see it too.
I don't know who else is in that division, but I really want to see that match. That's a really interesting match.
Oh, so I'm going to be having a chat with Tex Johnson on Saturday after his seminar at Gracie Bradenton. Throw that out cool. there. Oh, yeah. Also want to shout out Danny Newvall has MMAC grappling tournament. Is it this Saturday?
I think it's this Saturday
in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
So all the competitors in the Florida area, if you're looking for something to do on Saturday, want to practice your competition skills, boom.
Yeah.
MMAC, great tournament.
I wish, man. I wanted to do it, man. I was getting in competition ready, competition shape, and then boom, I'm old.
So I was offered a match at Fight to Win.
With who?
Actually, Karinga. And Karinga messaged me. I had both Seth Daniels and Karinga message me, and I don't know if it was for the same fight. Or if maybe Seth had a different opponent for me, but either way, I had just got done getting my knee smashed. Well, I shouldn't say smashed. I tried to pass the guard and my knee went out. It's kind of like when you bend over to turn on the shower and your back goes out.
That's what's happening now.
Yeah.
Which knee?
Oh, it's starting to heal up, but it's still not 100%. It's this knee. It's my right knee. It's still not 100%. And I keep, you know, I'm trying to train and get it, you know, rehabilitate it, do like squats, body squats and stuff. But it just, you know, every once in a while I'll tweak it again.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, so I feel like, I don't know, maybe I have a small tear in my meniscus or something. I don't know, yeah.
Probably, man.
I don't want to know. I'm going to ignore it and hopefully it goes away.
Know, that's how I felt. It sucked, man. I hurt my knee on a Thursday. I had to miss a seminar on Saturday, two seminars, Saturday and Sunday. I had to cancel.
That sucks.
Yeah, that really sucked, man. It's like I can't roll.
But yeah, that was the first time I've ever pulled out. So I was getting ready for Lilo Code, and then I had a Fight to Win coming up, and I was getting ready for the Lilo Code because I was first, and literally day one of my training camp, my knee went out.
That sucks.
And that took out, and I couldn't, that was out for 2 months. I just started training hard like a couple weeks ago.
Mm.
So,
dude, I like the thing that Josh is doing, this gamblers thing.
Yeah, the
that's pretty cool.
That's this Sunday.
Yeah,
it's going to be at the Manatee Performing Arts Center, and it's going to be
a lot of high level guys.
Yeah, it's going to be high level guys there, and it's going to be professionally streamed by yours truly.
Nice, just like this.
Yeah, well, no, actually, better than this. We're going to have better equipment. We're going to have professional cameras. We're going to have professional streaming equipment. So
that's going to be awesome. Yeah. Who's going in that one? Who's special man? I know you got Tex versus
Kevin Gallagher.
Kevin, I'm going to make predictions. See if they come right.
All right.
Kevin wins.
You're going to predict for Kevin?
Yeah. I think Kevin wins either. I'm going to predict Kevin wins in overtime for that one. But I think he'll win in dominating. I think he'll win positionally throughout the match.
Interesting. We'll see what happens.
That's what I think.
I am not going to make predictions.
I'm going to make predictions on all of them. Doesn't mean I don't like the guys I think are going to lose.
I know that.
Who gives
just,
a shit.
I'm just not making predictions because I don't like to be wrong, and B,
I'll be wrong. I think it's better to be wrong. If I go out there and all of a sudden it's like something completely unexpected happens.
Yeah.
Who else you got? Isn't Joe Bays going to be?
Yeah, I'm not sure who.
Karinga.
Oh, Karinga. Yeah. That's going to be fun.
Bays wins by footlock.
That's a likely scenario.
Likely. More than likely, he wins by straight ankle lock on his left leg.
You're calling the leg.
I'm calling the leg. Joe Bays wins by left straight ankle lock.
All right.
Now, keep these in your head.
Yeah. I think I want to bet you money on that one.
Okay. You want to bet that Joe?
Because I'll just won't talk.
Win?
I'll talk. No, I'm going to bet that Joe.
No, don't talk to Joe. I mean, hear this, but he's going to take what's available.
Well, I'm going to talk to Joe and be like, bro.
No,
I got
Joe.
Money on the line.
I'll talk to Joe.
You got it.
We'll can't. Both talk to him and then we'll see what happens.
I think Joe likes me better.
We'll see.
I spent more time with him. We're both old.
Yeah, that's true. Well, no, dude, I'm closer to his age.
No.
I think so. He's like 36.
He's an old soul.
I'm 30. I'm just a young man soul.
And
but still,
can,
I'm old.
I can empathize with his coal mining job.
Dude, more power to that guy, man.
Oh, my God.
Fuck.
Working a coal mine and you're just a savage grappler.
I have so much respect for his jiu-jitsu. Joe Bays.
Oh, my God.
It's so good. He's so good.
He's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I love the way.
And it's like, what do you do for a living? I work in the coal mine.
I know.
That's insane.
And his jiu-jitsu is so interesting. Like the way he goes for legs and the way he approaches the game is totally different than the way the Danaher guys do. Like the whole system is different. And but it's so interesting. It's really cool to watch him grapple. I love how he's like stunted so long, he's just built for it. He's all hunched over and just fucking like grab your fucking legs.
Yeah, man. He's really good at keeping them too.
Yeah.
Like, if he gets one, he'll get the other one.
If he wraps your leg in a straight, you're dead.
Yeah,
there's no getting out.
No, I've been ankle locked by Joe. Yeah. I rolled with him.
He's nasty. Who else is in this?
I don't know who else besides that.
I think there's some really high level ones. Can we look it up?
I don't know.
Jamie.
Jamie.
Jamie, look it up for us. I want to see it.
We have a Jamie.
What is it on? Is it on his Facebook?
Maybe on the Zapatero Invitational page.
Click Zapatero. What's the lineup, Jamie?
He's got 18 different posts here, so.
Oh, yeah, dude. Shout out to Chase Rome going up against Nick Rodriguez. That's a really cool match.
Wade Rome's kid.
Wade Rome's kid, who is a fucking hidden gem. I rolled with him. He is a nightmare to roll with.
That's awesome.
Bro,
is he a black belt?
No, he's a purple belt.
Oh, really?
He played college football. Dude is like gigantic, but incredibly fast, crazy dynamic guard.
Really?
Yeah.
How much does he weigh?
275. Like, he's a maybe 270.
270 and a dynamic guard? Wow.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's a scary man. He goes
inverted. I've done leg lock privates with him. He's been to a few of my seminars, and he loves everything that I show. So, you know, how my guard is, like, ridiculous. I love the guard, and I'm super flexible. He doesn't care about any restrictions. He goes for all the things that I've shown him, or that he's learned. He's going to be a good – he's going to be – if he did jiu-jitsu for full-time, he'd win the – he could have won the ADCC trials. I think he would have.
Yeah, man. You know, I was talking about – I'm glad you brought that up.
But he's going against this guy real quick. The guy that he's going against is John Danaher's – this guy, Nick, what is it?
Rodriguez.
Nick Rodriguez has been training at the Death Squad just for 6 months.
Oh, this is the guy that got his blue belt at the trials.
Yeah, and he went and got third in the trials. If Chase's head is in it the right way, I don't think it's a hard match for Chase. I don't think, I think that Chase wins that match. Let's see who else we got. Oh, perfect. Kyle Cozy versus Jay Enoch.
Kyle Cozio, that's my student. Jay Enoch.
Tough one, man. I've rolled with both of those guys. That's a really good match.
It is a good match.
It's a good matchup. Kyle's got the wrestling background,
right?
Yeah,
but he's got submissions too now.
Oh, man. I know.
He's like been working with the high-level guys. And
yeah.
Even doing some leg locks and everything, like.
Well, that's
he's on point. We'll see, but Jay's got experience, and I think he's been working on the leg game, quite a bit. So we'll have.
I think it's going to be a good match.
Yeah, it'll be a good matchup.
I like both of those guys because I've trained with Jay a lot,
mm-hmm.
and obviously I've trained with Kyle, but he's part of our network. But I don't think I can really pick because I haven't rolled with Kyle, you know, as much.
It's been a bit, yeah.
I don't think I can really pick. But we got Tony Way versus Dalton Fristos. Never heard of that guy. Tony Way wins.
Just because we've never heard of the other guy?
Tony Way wins by guillotine choke.
Okay.
Corey Brown versus Herbert Burns. Ooh, I think that's a really good match.
Who's Herbert Burns? I've heard of Corey Brown.
Sounds really familiar. Corey is really good.
I saw him. I saw him grapple at a recent New Breed, I think. And I think he beat Clayton Lyon, maybe.
Oh yeah, dude, Corey Brown.
Yeah,
yeah, I've rolled with him a lot. He comes out to my Sunday.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's really good. He's really high level.
Nice.
He's a really tough man. I'm actually when I roll with that guy, I get like it's. I have to be careful. When I roll, he'll snatch something up, man. You know, a lot of guys I'll roll with, honestly, to be totally honest, I'll roll with a lot of high-level black belts. They'll come in, and it'll be me chasing the submission and them being difficult to submit. But eventually, it happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
With a guy like Corey, I roll with him, and I am genuinely concerned about my neck and my legs. And it's just a little different dynamic,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you roll with a guy that is a killer snatching up submissions out of nowhere. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So there's a difference between going against a guy like that and then going against the guy who say, oh, I'm worried about this guy being so heavy and getting pressure and passing me and putting pressure on me until, you know, that's kind of easier to deal with than a guy that's just
unpredictable,
doing nothing. And then all of a sudden you're unconscious.
You know?
You're like, what the fuck happened? So you got to,
or really his head is right here, and then the next thing you know, he's on your leg.
Yeah, there's no tells.
So who else is after
with
Tony,
a guy like that,
or after Corey Brown?
Mike Padilla versus Matt Furiolo.
Oh, okay, so that's going to be a good one. Matt
Furiolo from ATT. Wade Rome just gave him his brown belt.
Oh, did he? Okay, cool.
That's a very tough match for Matt Furiolo. I like the kid, Matt. I really do.
Yeah, that's
he's a nice kid.
That is a tough match,
but he is definitely competing up. He's got a tall task in front of him.
Pidi is a great grappler. He's as a Henzo guy, he's been around the game for a while. He competes a lot.
Yeah, he's high level.
And he's high level. He's done some impressive shit.
Yeah. I like both of those guys. Obviously, I got to go with Padilla if I'm going to pick one. But, you know, I wish Matt Ferriola the best. I want to see. I always like seeing upsets. So,
yeah,
I just rolled with Matt Ferriola not that long ago over at his gym. He's a tough kid, man. He's got a good guillotine. He catches a guillotine, though. He could. He can snatch up a neck on Padilla and catch him. He could, you know. You got, I don't know who Phil Schwartz and Rodney Rampersad is, so I'm not even going to comment on that. Mike Lugo versus Nick Guglio. Lugo's always really tough, man. Lugo's hard to deal with.
I don't know who the other guy is.
I don't either. That's why I think that's pretty much it. I think Zapata's in it too, right? Yeah, Ben Zapata versus Ruben Beard. Zapata wins.
Ruben Beard?
Yeah, I have no idea.
That's a cool last name.
I know.
I wonder if he has one. It'd be weird if your last name was Beard and you didn't have, or you had a mustache.
I know, right? I think he does. Pierre Oliver, I don't know. But anyway, those are my predictions for that. What else?
What else has been going on? Well, you knew about the Connecticut trip. That was pretty
cool. Shout out to those guys.
Yes. I got to meet the bass player from Hatebreed.
That's cool. He told me.
Nice guy.
They have such a nice facility up there. I really like it.
Oh, Gracie Farmington Valley.
Farmington Valley. It's a beautiful time going up there. I don't know why everyone hates Connecticut. It's kind of beautiful there.
Well, I can talk shit on Connecticut because I lived there for most of my life.
Everybody shits on Connecticut.
And there's a reason. Like, okay, when I grew up in Connecticut, I grew up on South Main Street. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was like a mid-class neighborhood, like middle class. Now, I wouldn't say even upper middle, just straight down the middle class. Right. And now when you go there, and a lot of neighborhoods in both Manchester and Vernon and East Hartford, and man, it is a shithole now. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't even let your kids ride their bike down the street. You'd be stupid. Yeah.
Well, Hartford is a shithole.
Yeah, Hartford. That's basically what's happening is it's like a bomb hit Hartford,
yeah,
and it's slowly like spreading out throughout the rest of the state.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And that's exactly what it looks like too.
Jimmy was telling me about his property taxes. Holy shit!
Like it's insane. 12
G's a year.
It's insane
for property taxes.
Connecticut people are insane because they keep voting in the same people that make the state worse. They got
that, yeah, but that's that brainwashing. It's like that, you know, super duper left wing crazies.
Did you see
and I'm not even super right wing. I'm just saying, no, man. Crazy.
I got a left
has taken Connecticut.
Oh yeah,
you know that's the problem.
I have a lot of left leaning, you know, beliefs myself.
Yeah,
but I do not identify with that party anymore, man. They are nuts.
Well, you know what's interesting? I was talking to one of my students about he leans a little bit more left. I lean a little bit more right on certain issues, but we have awesome conversations about politics. Like, cause we're both not married to a side, you know, but we can sit there and talk like just logically about things. And I feel like most of America is like that.
Bro, did you see the the YouTube video about these scientist guys? I don't know if you can call them scientists, but researchers or whatever they are, who wrote these academic papers that were
fake. Yeah, I saw the whole podcast. Did you see it?
The Joe Rogan podcast? Yeah, I knew about that before those guys went on Joe Rogan because I had seen the video.
Oh, wow. What a fuck, dude.
So
fat bodybuilders?
Right. So for anybody who doesn't know, and I really hope that's no one, these guys basically wrote academic papers, had them peer-reviewed.
I know.
Which
for people who don't know, that's like a big deal.
That's like
you get one or two throughout your life,
right?
Done, and it's like your life's work,
right? And these guys had like how many published?
20,
yeah,
20, in 1 year.
20 published in 1 year, and it was all soft sciences. It was all gender studies type shit, and it was like ridiculous shit, like
what
fat body,
like they think it's a paper written about how it's discrimination and oppression of people that are overweight to not be able to compete in bodybuilding because you're assuming that, you know, the general public doesn't want to admire their figure, but would rather admire one that's built and that's not fair, and that's offensive.
And you can't use the word obese. You have to say fat, because obese.
Right, fat. Yeah.
Obese implies.
Implies that it's a bad thing. Yeah. That it's over a certain amount. That's this negative. Is
hysterical shit, yeah. Man.
I get it, bro, but they're offended. You need fat bodybuilders. You need it.
It's so funny.
How funny would it be to watch, like, if that takes over and there's a fat bodybuilder? Like, who are the guys that are going to enter into the fat bodybuilding competition?
I would like to meet them.
I want to meet those guys.
Yeah, and talk with every one of them.
Smack them all in the face.
But this presents a real problem, though, because it's now becomes a problem to cite work.
I know.
To cite scientific journals, to cite a study.
Who are these fucking people peer reviewing these papers?
I don't know, man, but like it's a real problem, because how can you cite a study now and point to something, and it's like now everybody has to do their own research and figure out, like, they have to read these journals.
I know.
It legitimizes these ideas, and
it's a brainwashing cult-like and then they ideology. Change
the entire country from academia out, you know.
Exactly. It's look at that. I mean, look, I'm all for, like, hey, maybe socialized healthcare would work. Like, I'm open to that. Like, just because we had socialized healthcare doesn't necessarily mean the tyrannical government is going to take over. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean that. So I'm like open to some of those social programs. But shit, I just lost my train of thought. What were we just talking about before that?
I think you were saying you have some ideas that are social.
Oh, like, but then you have that, like, who's that crazy woman that got elected in that in New York? She's like a bartender.
Oh, Oceanda, whatever that.
She's just like this bartender who's like super socialist.
Yeah, she's insane.
Like, insanely socialist.
And I don't know, somebody funded that chick and she got
unreal.
She got elected, man. It's crazy.
Unbelievable.
That's how I know we've gone insane.
I saw a thing that said, it had her face, and it was like, I couldn't, didn't budget to move to Washington because she thought she was going to live in the House of Representatives. Something like that.
Of course, I can't say too much because we have Trump as president. He's crazy too.
I agree. Yeah. He's a fucking, he can't form a sentence or read.
It is entertaining. And you know, but the thing is, though, I agree with a lot of the things he's done, but
so far, yeah.
So I give him a pass on his crash shit.
Well, here's the thing. You know? It's almost like,
and I like the fact that he,
you know, it's like our country is rebelling. You know, it's like we had all these years of like the same old not believing politicians, just lies after lies. The American people just feel like they're being lied to, that they don't make a difference, that the government is this faraway entity that I can't control in any way. You know, that's just kind of how it was with Obama, whether you agree with the politics or not. Like, it just with that, with Hillary Clinton and all very establishment-esque. Yeah, like so establishment. And then this guy comes along that's like,
yeah, grab your pussy.
Yeah, grab your pussy. He's hilarious.
He is,
and it was
fucking hilarious.
Fuck you to the. It was just a fuck you to that party and that whole.
What did you think about Jim Acosta getting his White House press credentials taken away?
Oh man, I think he was out of line.
I do too, man.
Yeah, I think he was definitely
like,
out of line.
The chick, he was done. His turn was over. It's like, bro, that's not how this works. You don't get to just bogart the fucking mic. It's like, imagine if that was a joint,
dude. I mean, I think Trump should have been able to just get off the stage and challenge him to a fight right then and there. Like, it doesn't, we have to go back to like human instincts with that. Like, he was up in his face being incredibly rude. If somebody was up in my face being incredibly rude like that, I'm going to get back in your face. I don't give a fuck what I do for a living. Dude. You get up and you're rude to me like that. If I was the President Trump, I would have got down and got up in his face. Say it now, motherfucker.
I would love
say to it see now. Trump. Guess what? I'm a human being just like you. Don't be rude to me. Sit the fuck down.
I would love for Trump to like smack somebody.
Fuck yeah. I'm all about that. And not because if,
you know what, even at the expense of him not getting a second term, to watch Trump like smack Jim Acosta,
that'd be so fucking funny.
It would be worth it to lose the presidency.
Because he didn't.
It would be worth it to have a Democrat back.
It didn't even seem like, I know, right? It didn't even seem like he had any real points to make anyway. I can't even remember what he was talking about, but it was just so, it was so like, come on, that's what you're going to harp on? Like,
he was just being a cunt.
Yeah, he's just an asshole. But that whole side is like so many extreme people are on that side, it seems like, more than the other side.
No, on the left, you mean?
Yeah, on the left. Or they're actually making a difference in things that matter, like academia. You know, like
it's just, but in a bad way, though.
In a bad, that's what I'm saying, in a bad way. But there are like there are people that lean left. I mean, there are good, like, people that I listen to that lean left that make sense, that are logical people. They just, I think the big difference is they don't think by giving a little bit more power over to a government is going to be as big of a deal as the right does.
Yeah, but you know? Specifically with academia, they're fucking themselves because nobody's going to believe a study that's going to be cold now. Nobody's going to believe a study anymore. Nobody's going to like, oh, this study says, and it's going to be all about, well, oh, well, who did that study? Oh, that person?
Yeah.
Well, who's that person?
I know.
It's never going to be about attacking the ideas anymore. It always
comes to that, like a standstill about facts.
Yeah.
And about your facts are wrong, my facts are right.
Right. And now facts are in question because of this peer reviewed bullshit. This paper is getting accepted into these journals, and all of a sudden it's science now. It's like, no, it's not science.
I know. It's unbelievable. Like the
dog humping thing.
I can't. That was hilarious.
The dog park humping.
So if you are a white male, and your dog humps another dog, you have two male dogs and your dog's humping another male, they're more inclined to pull the dog away, like, and yell at the dog, no, don't fuck the other male dog. But if your dog is a male and humps another female dog, the owners then egg the dog on, like, yeah, get it, get some. And this was the fake study that they did.
Yeah.
And these people believed that shit. So it was a way to demonize white men.
Right.
Which is just like, what the fuck's happening?
And what did they say too? Like, everything is about finding problems now. That's all they.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is problematic. And that's problematic. You know?
Yeah.
You know,
they're going down this rabbit hole. Yeah. Of like,
it's like, you can find problems with anything. I know. Shit, I can do that.
I know.
Fuck, if that's a job somewhere, hire me, because I can find problems like anywhere.
The one who's the biggest victim wins.
Yeah.
The most victimized person is the best person.
Right.
That's a scary thing, to put people in these categories like that.
Yeah.
And like, you're no longer, I'm no longer talking to Sonny. I'm talking to a
white male.
Privileged male. So I only will give credit to only some things that you say, because most of the things you say
come with my background of white male,
right? So you can't have an oppression. Opinion. You can't have an opinion on that. That's a scary place to be, that this country, that those people are influencing. If you go down the rabbit hole,
it's America, baby,
if you go down, there are people that have like large audiences on YouTube who are extreme right and extreme left.
They become the same person.
Basically, and they're preparing for war. Like, these people that have like 500,000 views on their videos, and they're literally talking about how to prepare for war of the left. Like, there's all kinds of, like, they think that there's actually going to be a civil war breakout between it.
This is why we need to legalize weed. Everybody needs to just smoke a fucking J and calm down.
I know.
Realize it's not that bad. I don't get into arguments with black people when I go to the store.
I know.
Or Indian people or Asian people or any other type of people. I just, I mean, I'll send a go fuck yourself to someone here and there when they get in my way or whatever. But, you know, as a general rule.
Cause a scene here and there.
Exactly.
Get mad or something.
Yeah. Fucking guy doesn't get my order right at the drive-thru.
Oh, yeah.
But
I've been guilty. I threw a hamburger once.
I threw fucking fries once.
Yeah.
Fuck those people, man. They got one job to do.
What a mess.
See?
I always, every time I go to the drive-thru. See, we can
unite in our hatred of stupid people.
I know.
You know?
Every time I go through a drive-thru, I'm like, God damn. I'm so glad I don't. I feel bad. I'm like, but I'm so glad I don't have to do a job like that.
Oh, I did a job. We both. I think we both worked at McDonald's, didn't we?
No, I worked at Pizza Hut.
Oh, we both worked at Pizza Hut. That's what it is.
Pizza Hut was awesome. Yeah, it was the only job that I was able to like.
It's the first time I ever got a key to a place. I remember.
You're a manager.
Yeah, I celebrated by going in one time at like 4 a.m. and making a pizza, just because I fucking could. Like, I'm going to go in there and make a pizza for myself.
I did every job at Pizza Hut except for management.
Yeah, I do. I don't know if it was if I got promoted or if it was my friend Mike Gargiulo that got promoted and we just went in together.
Oh, yeah.
I don't recall being a manager. I know it was a driver and a cook.
Dude.
A cook. Cook at Pizza Hut. Okay, what does that one say? A fourth cup of cheese?
With
okay.
Your little cups. God, I remember that.
I don't even know what they do now.
That's how they do
it. They still do the cups, the cup system.
I still know people that work there. When I worked there, I still talk to a few guys that work at Pizza Hut. That was the only job I was able to keep, like, you know, while doing jiu-jitsu and like having a goal of opening a gym and all that. Like every job I had, I just didn't give a fuck about. And the only job I was able to do was deliver pizza, which was. It's cool because you're not sitting in an office the whole time.
Right. You made tips.
Yeah. You get tips and you're out. You're not just sitting around inside a building cooped up.
By the way, back up to Connecticut. Shout out to the food, though.
I fucking hate the food here.
I know.
The food in Florida sucks so bad.
It's terrible. I had a nice treat at this guy, Maple View Farms. He was sponsoring the event, so he was making sausage. I remember all the sausage jokes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was funny the first time, and then. But like that guy's for real. That guy's sausage was amazing.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was amazing.
I just wanted, because I'm from New York. I'm from up north, so I grew up going to the deli in the morning and getting a bagel with like. Bacon, egg, and cheese on an everything bagel. And you just can't do that anywhere. There's no place that will make you a good like bacon, egg, and cheese bagel in anywhere in Florida.
Actually, that's not true. There's a place in Tampa.
But that's what I'm saying. There's one place in Tampa.
Remember the place we used to go when you guys would get those weird salmon on your bagels?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that place.
Do they do it? But like in New York, it's on every corner. You can get it.
And it's delicious.
And it's just so good. Yeah, I had a good time in Connecticut. I like it.
I always have a good time in Connecticut. Yeah. It's just two problems with Connecticut. It's the government ruining the state and is just becoming more and more. It's like literally Connecticut, more and more of Connecticut is starting to look like Flint, Michigan. You know what I mean? It's just. Spreading, like I said, it's like a bomb hit Hartford and it's spreading throughout the state.
Unbelievable.
And that's how the whole state's going to look like Flint, Michigan inside of the next 15 to 20 years. Watch.
Jesus.
So
it's a beautiful state though.
And well, the parts of it are very beautiful. Yeah. So that's the one problem with Connecticut. The other problem with Connecticut is that it's cold in the winter.
Yeah.
Very cold.
Yeah. And, I don't mind that.
You know, so here's the thing, though. Every time I complain about it being cold when I go up north, people call me a pussy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, yo, you're just used to shitty weather, and I'm not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're used, this is your normal. You're used to this shitty weather, this cold, and so your body's acclimated to this nasty, gross weather. I know. That's the problem. I'm not a pussy. You're just used to it. It's not like, care. It's like you come to a place like
I hate
Florida.
Fucking summer here.
I don't mind it. I don't mind, honestly. Ugh. I'm not. It's not like I'm out frolicking in it, but
I'm always frolicking, and every time I do, it's too hot.
I don't know. I'd rather be in Florida where it's too, maybe a little too hot in the summer, but what is the temperature today, motherfucker?
I know, it's beautiful.
It's right in the now. Middle of November.
I know.
Look outside. You can see the sun.
I know.
It's beautiful.
It's crazy.
Might go for a dip.
I know. People up north. I know, man. But I just, I don't know. There's something about Florida that just has no, like, maybe well, no culture or well, something.
The problem
something
with Florida, about it. The problem with Florida, because I can pick on Florida too, because I live here,
yeah,
is that it's flat.
Yeah.
It's flat. And if it's not man-made, it's ugly swamp.
Pretty much. We live in a swamp.
We live in an ugly swamp.
Yeah.
Except for the man-made parts and the beaches. The beaches are nice.
Beaches are definitely nice.
But most of it is man-made. Like all mm-hmm. all the really nice parts of Florida are man-made. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. I'm not a fan. I would leave Florida if I could.
Really?
Yeah.
You can go anywhere you want, man. What the hell's keeping you here? Take your family. Mm-hmm. Go. Go to Seattle. Go to fucking.
No.
Go live, I don't in, go to live one in the of those fucking states. Rain.
I'd rather if I was going to go anywhere, it would be like somewhere country.
I think you should go to Seattle and join Antifa. Yeah.
They're everywhere.
You could become
there.
Their leader.
They're everywhere. there.
I'll bet you if you really wanted to, you could become the leader of Antifa inside of 2 years.
Probably. Well, you want to do a social experiment? See how far I get in Antifa. I'll get indoctrinated. Oh, my God. What time is it? I gotta go, dude.
You gotta teach?
Yeah.
It is a weekday.
I know.
Well,
thanks for having me, homie.
Peace and love in here, Greece. It was good talking to you.
Good talking to you.
As always, the wonderful Robbie D'Onofrio, GracieBrandon.net. Boha.